We're 8 days away from the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 9th and Saturday, June 10th in Collinsville, Illinois. Register today at issuesetc.org.
There's a social justice super clause. In other words, all laws should be interpreted according to the demands and dictates of social justice.
You know, the feminists used to say the personal is political. And we should have listened to them when they said that, because they meant it. And what they meant was that absolutely every detail of your life would become politicized, and that they meant to get into your life.
What we find here revealed in Job is that the point of being a Christian is Christ, is knowing Him, who is the Son of God, our Savior, our Redeemer, who shed His blood for us.
Homemakers in Indiana love Issues Etc.
The Apostle Paul writes to Pastor Timothy, "Study to show yourself approved, a workman not ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth," or rightly dividing the word of truth. So this young preacher to which Paul writes has a task. The task is to rightly handle God's word. What does that mean? Well, it means that that division that the apostle calls for is one of law and gospel. Yes, Paul knew about the proper distinction between law and gospel, and that's exactly what he's talking about. Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. During the next hour, we're going to hear Dr. Carl Fikencher's teaching from the 2016 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Making the Case for Law and Gospel Preaching. Dr. Fikencher is a regular guest and professor of pastoral ministry and missions, teaching primarily in the area of preaching at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and one of the speakers at last year's Making the Case Conference.
Just quick logistics. Everybody's got a copy of the handout, I presume, that says Making the Case for Law and Gospel. If you don't raise your hand, and Jeff or we got able assist. My wife needs one. Oh, okay. Are we good? If you need one, raise your hand. Great. This is a delight to do in so many ways. It's fun to be here. I do speak for a number of conferences, and they're always a lot of fun. Most of them are pastors, you know, and they're fun. But this is the best speaking opportunity I have ever enjoyed. And I haven't started to speak yet. Just being with you guys for these days is delightful for many reasons. Things like singing the hymns, being beautifully educated by the preceding speakers, you know, all. I mean, I learned a ton from every single one. Also, though, because I just do love being a part of Issues Etc., you know, in a huge way. And this is totally serious. This, I believe, is one of the leading outreaches of our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, bar none, that we've been doing the last number of years. One of the cool things about doing this is I really do get to meet a lot of you folks who do actually listen, you know, because every week it is exactly as Pastor Wilkins said, I'm getting to do again the things that I did every Sunday when I was a parish pastor for 15 years, and I certainly do with my students, but not every week until I start doing it again here. That's delightful. But I'm sitting in my office, you know, with a phone in my ear, and Jeff and Todd on the other end, and I'm loving it because I just love studying the scriptures, and I love looking forward to Sunday morning, you know? But it's a lot more fun when this realization strikes that somebody else is actually out there. That's quite remarkable. You forget. And so many of you here and in other places where I go are gracious to say you appreciate this. What that really tells me, as I said, is that Issues Etc. is a fabulous, fabulous outreach. You've heard the testimonials, you know, and I hear them week after week. Just this morning, my daughter, who is, where's Rachel now? Rachel, there you, my daughter there. Rachel has finished her deaconess studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, and is going to be beginning her one-year deaconess internship at Village Lutheran in Ladue, just across the river, on August 1st. She was just down with our son in Puerto Rico for a mission thing, and she just told me this morning that she met a young lady down there in Puerto Rico who was a different church background and not real strong background, but really came to understand the gospel in Puerto Rico from listening to Issues, etc. And by golly, we actually had a church, an LCMS mission congregation down there that she could join to be a part of. I mean, that's just one of these. And there are a million of them, but it's so cool now actually to get to talk to real live people about this thing that we all know Issues, etc., is doing so wonderfully. And the thing it's doing so wonderfully is sharing Christ Jesus with people all over the place. Obviously, it does that by sharing God's word. And God's word speaks to us in a way that we Lutherans have been very blessed to understand. Nothing that originated with us, simply given to us in Holy Scripture, but something God has really blessed us to know and recognize. You got your hand out there, right? Look down at that handout, and everybody read out loud with me the quotation at the top there. Martin Luther once wrote, let's read the things that are in quotation marks there, okay? Let's read that together, everybody out loud. Distinguishing between the law and the gospel is the highest art in Christendom, and one that every person who values the name Christian ought to recognize, know, and possess. I was delighted to get to talk about this topic in particular for a couple reasons. One, of course, this law gospel thing is something I talk about all the time, and I've done it on Issues, etc. But I teach my students at the seminary in Fort Wayne that this law and gospel thing is the essential understanding for preaching, not just Lutheran preaching, but for Christian preaching, for preaching the Bible, okay? I mean, I teach this all the time. But also beyond just teaching law and gospel, I actually do have a lot of occasions to literally make the case for law and gospel. And that's because there are a lot of, in some cases, sincere questioners, other cases, kind of naysayers about this law and gospel thing. And they come from a lot of different directions, and they've come for centuries. Certainly, some of the questioners are people from other Christian traditions, other denominational backgrounds that really just don't understand. You know, and we'll talk about some examples like that, the good, faithful Christian people who just don't understand that this is how God's word speaks. And then, of course, there have also been Lutherans who have been questioners, or in some cases, naysayers, some pretty serious liberal Lutheran naysayers of the 16th, 20th, and 21st centuries who question this law gospel thing because in this particular school of thinking, God's law no longer speaks to the Christian. It's a question about the third use of the law and whether a Christian ever needs the law anymore at all. There, a lot of people say, no, you don't anymore once you're a Christian. So then the law gospel thing, of course, is tossed out the window. And then there are also very faithful, conservative, confessional Lutherans who still have some questions about law and gospel simply because they think that talking about law gospel is sort of putting the Bible in a straitjacket, forcing the Bible to speak, you know, two words when the Bible is, of course, so very, very diverse in the message that it gives to us. All of those are reasons that sometimes you got to say, no, let's think about this law gospel thing. Let's consider how important this really is. Or at least that would be my contention. Now, Luther obviously says it is. It's the highest art in Christendom, one that every person who values the name Christian ought to recognize, know, and possess. Now, that's Luther's contention. Do we agree? Well, let us make the case, okay? And I'd like to make the case on four levels that you see printed out there, but you don't see everything printed out there. We'll fill in a few things as you go. I would say that properly distinguishing law and gospel is an art we all ought to recognize, know, and possess because. And I'll give you four reasons, and we'll work around, and by the time we finish, hopefully all those blanks are filled in and you've got some reasons to think. Maybe there's a pretty good case for doing this thing that Lutherans have talked about quite a lot. Properly dividing law and gospel is a blank God has especially entrusted to blank. And I'm not going to tell you the answer yet. But if you figure it out, yeah, you write down your little tentative answer and we'll check it out. Okay? I was a Lutheran pastor for many years. I graduated from seminary in 1984. And I had been taught law and gospel. I'd been taught this is what you preach, this is what you do when you're studying God's word, when you're preaching God's word. And I bought that, and so I did it all the time. But I would say not too critically, or to put it more positively, not too appreciatively. You know, I was taught that's what you do, and I'm kind of one of those, you know, salute guys, so I'm just doing it. But I kind of didn't realize everything we had here for a good while. It was actually when I'd been a pastor for quite a few years that I began my PhD studies at Southwest Baptist Theological Seminary in Fort Worth, Texas. My last congregation was in the Dallas area. I was in Michigan for 5 years, then 10 years in the Dallas area. And while I was in my second congregation, I did my doctoral work at Southwest Baptist Theological Seminary. And great place, and they were very appreciative. In fact, it's kind of cute. Largest seminary in the world, 4,000 students, largest seminary in the world, actually. Guess how many Lutherans among those 4,000 students? Right, one, there was one, exactly one. But quite cutely, they did not treat me as a token Lutheran. Like, you know, well, he's nice, he walks, he talks, he does Lutheran, and then we smile at him and pat him on the head. But actually, more like a resident Lutheran, which means they'd ask me, well, what do Lutherans or Luther say about this stuff? And I, you know, had to study hard, because I knew some things and didn't know a lot of stuff. Still don't know a lot of things, but I studied up when they asked me some questions about this sort of thing.
We're listening to Dr. Carl Fakencher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, making the case for law and gospel preaching from the 2016 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. When we come back, we're going to hear more of his use of law and gospel while he was a student. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Pastor Brian Katchelmeyer of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. Over the next 5 years, Los Alamos National Laboratory is planning to hire thousands of new employees in the areas of science, engineering, security, administration, and construction. If you have both a technical and confessional mind, Los Alamos may be the place for you. I invite you to explore the possibilities on the websites for the Town, Laboratory, and Redeemer Lutheran Church.
Jesus the Good Teacher, Jesus the Therapist, Jesus the Giver of Bling. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June is Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up? 12 False Christs. It's written by regular guest Dr. Matt Richard. Read an excerpt at issuesetc.org or purchase Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up? By calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up?
Grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you have a student finishing up eighth grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Christ Academy has been the most formative experience as I study to be a pastor. Hi, I'm Ian Kinney. I attended Christ Academy as a student, and now I work there as a proctor. You'll learn theology from seminary professors, have fellowship with other young men, hear God's word, and receive the sacrament in beautiful Kramer Chapel. Christ Academy, June 18th through July the 1st at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. If you're a high school man, visit ctsfw.edu/Christ Academy. ctsfw.edu/Christ Academy.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Carl Fikencher is making the case for law and gospel preaching from the 2016 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Here's some feedback we received from last year's Making the Case Conference. One attendee says it gets better and better every year, returning next year, hopefully, with a car full of new fans. Another, as an evangelical, this conference was incredibly informative and thought-provoking and comforting. And a third attendee said, this is our second year to attend. I truly enjoyed last year and didn't expect this year's conference would surpass last year's event. This year was better. All the speakers were exceptional, and I feel that I gained so much as a Christian, layperson, and as a community member. Thank you. Don't miss the premier conference for the Christian laity, the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in 8 days, Friday, June 9th and Saturday, June the 10th in Collinsville, Illinois. You'll find a conference schedule and registration information at issuesetc.org. The 5th annual Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 9th and 10th in Collinsville, Illinois. Let's go back to Dr. Fikencher's presentation, Making the Case for Law and Gospel Preaching from the 2016 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. He was talking about his use of law and gospel while a student.
And one thing that came up a lot, and I fired the first shot on this one, would be that in, I think, one of the first paper I presented for discussion, I talked about law and gospel. And that seemed to me like a good thing. It was a PhD in homiletics, talking about preaching. Okay, we'll talk about law and gospel. And then when I talked about it with my fellow students, they found it kind of interesting and had some discussion. And then the second course I took, the major paper I wrote for that, I kind of thought, well, how should I attack this new topic? I'd say law and gospel. And then my buddies who were in classes with me, enjoyed it, thought it was interesting. You asked a few questions, had some good dialogue. You get to the third course, third major paper, and you're starting to look at these topics. Every new course, the professor gives you a new topic to explore, and when I start to study it and research it, I kind of realize, gosh, I think law and gospel is kind of the thing to this. And so before long, I did become kind of a broken record in the ears of my friends. Wonderful fellow students I studied with. Not all of them were Baptists, lots of them were Baptists, but they thought this was all kind of intriguing. More than that, I started to discover that this thing was more than just a good thing you do because Dr. Aho at the seminary in 1981 told me to do it. It's because it's the thing. I started getting very, very interested in this, and the more I studied with my Baptist friends, the more I started to appreciate that we Lutherans really had something going on here. Then, of course, along the line as I was doing this research, I would, of course, study, how we'd get these things. And of course, we would discover that law and gospel is not something you learned in Hom 1 at a, LCMS seminary, just originally there. But, of course, it's from the Bible. It's from the Bible, exactly. And so, because it's from the Bible, it's been around ever since Adam and Eve needed a word of condemnation and a word of forgiveness from the get-go, And so it's always been there. And since it's there in the scriptures that Christians have used for every century, it's been there among Christians, in Christian preaching, in Christian conversation, ever since the New Testament, certainly. But the fact of the matter is, not articulated all that specifically for a good long time, actually, until the best spokesman to come along was Martin Luther. Exactly. Martin Luther, who discussed this law-gospel thing very eloquently. And so, in the Lutheran tradition, since Luther talked about it, law and gospel has become a big deal. But what's more is that in the centuries since Luther, nobody has articulated it in as full and systematic a way as C.F. W. Walther. Exactly, exactly. And most of you know this. If you don't, just a quick little thumbnail sketch. C.F. W. Walther, of course, was one of the founders of our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He came over from Saxony in 1838, was in that first colony in Perry County, Missouri, and then in St. Louis, helped the early Saxon immigrants get through a really rocky time in terms of their colony, their leader, then the doctrine of the church. He sent out publications that caused other confessional Lutherans around the country to read and say, I want to be in on that, you know, brought them together to form the Missouri Synod in 1847. Dr. Walther was a professor and president of the seminary in St. Louis. He was first president of our church body, and et cetera, et cetera. And as was pointed out yesterday, I think Todd pointed out, also pastor of one congregation that was actually four congregations all at the same time. Very, very busy guy. But in one of the last years of his life, very near the end of his life, for what amounted to three semesters, the fall of 1884, the spring of 1885, and the fall of 1885, just before his death in May of 1887, a year and a half before his death, that's all it was, he gave 39 lectures on Friday evenings to the students at the St. Louis Seminary. The 39 lectures consisted of developing 25 theses on the proper distinction between law and gospel. Okay, how many of you knew most of that? Good job, okay, quite a few, good, good. What this amounts to is to say that this thing that is absolutely scriptural comes to us ever since the beginning of the Old Testament, very clearly in the New Testament, and therefore the heritage of Christianity throughout history, nevertheless was specially articulated among Lutherans, led by Martin Luther, and then the clearest, deepest, most systematic treatment of this thing that is what the scriptures are all about, came to the world by God's working through a guy in the itty-bitty little Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Now that's a pretty remarkable thing. And the more we make this case for law and gospel and see how really foundational this is, the more we'll say, whoa. God has entrusted an amazing gift, especially to Lutherans. Why, I'd say that properly dividing law and gospel is a gift God has especially entrusted to Lutherans. Yeah. Now, that does not mean, of course, that this is our little, our little investment that we keep in our pockets or in our banks or something like that, right? When God entrusts a gift to a portion of his Christendom, it means what? It's for us to share with the whole world. That's crucial. I mean, this first point in making the case is not saying, hey, we're great. God, this is a really valuable thing. God's especially given to us. That's not what this means at all. This means God has entrusted. That means it's a trust. That means it's something to be received as given and used by us for the whole world. That does tell us this. If God has taken this treasure, which as we'll see, is a really, really precious treasure, a really big gift. If God has given us this huge gift, given it to us, And we don't recognize, know, possess, use, share it, then we are real dum-dums. To say nothing of horrible stewards and not really being very faithful Christians, actually. But I mean, if God drops this gift in our lap, we're really stupid if we Lutherans don't do this thing. I mean, I think the case for doing this law gospel thing begins with saying, God has really especially entrusted it to us as a gift, and that means we better know what we've got here. And once we know what we've got here, we better see how valuable it is to use, and then to do so.
On this Thursday, June the 1st, we're listening to Dr. Carl Fikencher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, from the 2016 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, making the case for law and gospel preaching. When we come back, law and gospel, what are they?
I'm delighted to be chairman of Preach the Word Project, a project of our synod to strengthen the preaching of all of us pastors in the synod. We know how eternally important that is.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Carl Fikencher talking about the new Preach the Word Project.
So we've put together a program of 12 modules that will be coming out this year and over the next 3 years on a variety of preaching topics for pastors to do together with two other pastors, two guys they trust, two guys they feel comfortable with, written materials and very fine video quality materials that are now becoming available.
Preach the Word helps pastors work together to improve their preaching with several resources and by interacting with seminary professors and fellow preachers. Find out more at lcms.org/preachtheword. lcms.org/preachtheword. Preaching is challenging business. We all can use some fresh ideas. lcms.org/preachtheword.
The 500th anniversary of the Reformation approaches. A good time to ask, who are we as Confessional Lutherans? What's our heritage? The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission has produced the Layman's Guide to Theological History. Go to the CLCC.org and see which of these presentations and books would be most helpful to you and your fellow parishioners. And consider becoming a member with us as the CLCC seeks to help more people know what it means to be a confessional Lutheran. The CLCC.org.
Stuck in traffic? Waiting in line at the grocery store? Do better than scrolling through pictures of your aunt's chai latte and your friend's distraught statuses regarding the football game on Facebook. Download the digital version of the Lutheran Witness and get your theological fix instead. Not a subscriber? Visit cph.org/trylutheranwitness for a special offer of $6.99 for 6 issues. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective.
Preaching Christ and Him crucified. You're listening to Issues Etc.
People are talking about the Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Lutheran FCU was created solely to serve LCMS workers, families, and entities, and proceeds benefit LCMS organizations. Lutheran FCU offers deposit accounts and loans and has service access at thousands of branches and ATMs nationwide. Lutheran FCU also offers members Christian-based lending advice for new loans and refinancing, minimal account fees, and superior personalized service. Check them out at LutheranFCU.org.
Children are a heritage from the Lord, but what of those who've not been given the gift of a child? The cross of barrenness affects not only childless couples, it affects the family, friends, and pastors who love and care for them. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm partnering with Emmanuel Press to publish the second edition of my book, He Remembers the Barren, a story about the hope and contentment found only in Christ, no matter the cross we bear. Visit emmanuelpress.us to learn more. emmanuelpress.us.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Thursday afternoon, Dr. Carl Fikencher is making the case for law and gospel preaching from the 2016 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. A simple question, what are law and gospel?
Okay, properly dividing long gospel is what makes a blank a blank. Hold that thought. You guys all, I didn't need to have you raise your hand on this. You guys all know what long gospel are already. So do my students in Hom 1, the first homiletics, first preaching course. They know what long gospel are. I taught it every year, my confirmation kids. I teach it every time I teach adult instruction class. Everybody knows what it is, right? Even kind of before you begin, a lot of brand newbies in adult instruction have kind of an idea. What are law and gospel? Tell me anything you want to tell me about law or gospel or both. Just shout it out. What's that? God's word. Exactly. The law is God's word. The gospel is God's word. Yep. Yep. Good. Something else. Good job. The law is God telling us what we are supposed to do or not do. And of course, the gospel is always telling us what God has done, is doing, continues to do for us. Right. Anything else? Shows us our sin. Go, Kim. Shows us our Savior. How many of you guys learned the SOS deal in confirmation class? Okay. Shows us our sin, shows our Savior. It's great. Exactly. Yep. Go for it. And you qualified. That's good. That gets them both. You're a sinner. The law shows us our sin. Yeah, exactly. But Jesus Christ died for our sins. Absolutely. And yeah, Mike?
Makes demands.
Exactly. Which one, by the way, Mike?
The law.
Oh, thank you, Mike. Good job. Yes.
But
and? Yeah. Yeah. Well, Luther makes that specific. He says, demands nothing, but instead gives us, and he lists. The law makes demands. The gospel makes no demands but gives us forgiveness of sins, life, salvation, etc., 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 through Christ's death and resurrection. Exactly. And we could go on and on and on. You guys know this. You know, for example, that the law is in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Oh, good. I thought I might trap somebody. Nah. The gospel, of course, is in the New Testament. And the ultimate, yeah, you know all that. Exactly. See, we know basically what these long gospel things are. And when I teach this, the one, you guys have captured it very well, the one to me that does kind of distinguish most helpfully is the one about who's to do, who's done, right? Because when I teach this, and kids and adults, either way, you know, and some students, by the way, yep, right? When we have gone through kind of this, and I write a list on the blackboard just like we did, and I get most of these good answers, you know, law, gospel, you know, and show the correspondence, you know. And so I say, you guys know what this is, right? And everybody goes, yep, 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 yep. Good, good. And then I say, good, let's take a little exercise here, little test. And I say, okay, which one is this, law or gospel? And I say, love your neighbor. And I smile real big. And the response they get are? Split. Pretty split. Pretty split. And then I usually make either kids or adults explain their answers. You know, some of you said it's law, tell me why. Some of you say it's gospel, tell me why. And you know, we get a lot of people at this point who have kind of an aha experience. Because when I say with a big smile, love your neighbor, and they say, gospel, right? And then I walk back to the blackboard, and up on the blackboard I've got on the law side what we are to do, and on the gospel side I've got what God has done, is doing, continues to do for us in Christ Jesus. And I kind of, with my chalk, I kind of start to levitate toward the L side where it says what we are to do, and I say, who's supposed to love his neighbor? We are. And then, oh, that's different than I thought. Because I thought I knew exactly what law and gospel were. Everybody knows. Gospel, nice. Law, mean. Right? Everybody knows that, see? Everybody knows that. And so we all knew what law gospel was before we started the discussion, except we didn't, see? And then we really realized that at the core of the thing is that God's law tells us what God demands of us, what we are to do, what we are not to do. It tells us the punishment when we fail to do so. But the gospel is always God at work. The law, the gospel is never man at work. The gospel is always God at work. And ultimately, it's always God at work in Christ Jesus, explicitly in Christ crucified. And we'll talk more about that before we finish, although, you know, golly, time being what it is, what a tyrant. All right, so here's what we got then, so far. We know what long gospel are now, right? Okay, what is a Christian? Saint sinner, good. What does it mean to be a Christian? A Christian is someone who? What's that? Yeah, exactly. Someone who knows that he is a sinner. And someone who knows, same person, and that same person who knows that he is a saint, forgiven by Christ Jesus, right? This is what it is to be a Christian. That is to say, every Christian is doing this law gospel thing. Every human soul who is a member of the invisible church, that is, every person who really is in the kingdom of God, is doing this law gospel thing. He or she knows, believes, I am a sinner, Christ has redeemed me. And even though I'm a sinner, Christ's redeeming me trumps I am a sinner. See, gospel wins out. That's rightly dividing law and gospel. C.F.W. Walther says that this law gospel thing is the forma of the Christian. That is to say, it's the thing that is the essence of being a Christian. Walther says, anyone who fails to attain the knowledge of and the practical ability to apply this distinction between law and gospel is still a heathen or a Jew. The forma of a Christian, that which makes a person a Christian, is that he knows how to seek his salvation in Christ and thus to escape the law. Okay? In other words, properly dividing law and gospel is what makes a Christian a Christian. Exactly. It's that foundational. Okay? This law gospel thing is so basic, so foundational, that it is what every Christian is doing, and it's what makes that person a Christian. That is true, of course, of many, 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 many believers in Christ Jesus who don't understand the terms, couldn't explain them very well. But do know that they need that Savior, Christ Jesus, and they have that Savior in Christ crucified. Which is to say that folks in those other Christian traditions who don't think about this law gospel stuff, my Baptist buddies, they're doing this. They're dividing law and gospel in their hearts constantly to the extent they are believers in Christ. However, of course, this does remind us that if this is the forma of a Christian, if this is what's going on in the heart of every single believer, then it sure stands to reason we ought to want to take this from just being something the Holy Spirit is working in us to then kind of consider it and realize what's going on. Be conscious of it, be aware of it, study it so that we can be aware of what God is doing in us and use it more joyously, more eagerly. Okay? And this, of course, is especially true for those of us who have been especially gifted with this thing, that is, we Lutherans. We'd be real dum-dums, since it's going on every believer's heart, and we've been told what it is, not to study it, teach it, use it. Recognize, know, and possess it. Okay? Time is a tyrant, my goodness. Number three, properly, everybody got the answer to that one, right? Christian to Christian, makes Christian to Christian. Number three, properly dividing law and gospel is the blank blank of God's blank. Anybody know what is the clearest passage in Scripture for this task of dividing or distinguishing law and gospel? Anybody know? What? Second, Timothy 2:15. Turn there. Turn there with me. Now, I'm reckoning there are a whole lot of ESVs sitting out there, which is very good, and chances of such are enhanced by the fact that the Bible under the pew in front of you is, in fact, an ESV. So, one way or another, pull it out, get your Bible, turn to 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, and if you happen to have an ESV, only if you have an ESV, read it out loud right now, loud and clear. ESV, 2 Timothy 2:15, right now. Well read. And it's real similar to the NASB, which is my study Bible. But anybody out there bring his or her own New King James or King James? Raise your hand. Got a King James, New King? Got it? Belt it out. Loud and clear. Listen carefully. That's the old King James, by the way. Read on. Operative difference there. But both great translations. No problem. No problem. Good translations. What's the operative difference that the King James or New King James brought out that the ESV, NASB, don't happen to identify particularly? Rightly dividing. You know this, right? Anybody want to tell me what the Greek word there is? Exactly. The root word is orthotomeo. Ortho means, anybody know? Rightly. It literally means you take your kiddos to the orthodontist to get his teeth straightened. Straight, ortho straight, tomeo, fus mein tas. Means to cut. Ortho tomeo literally means to cut straight. What St. Paul is saying there to Timothy is there's this task, which is apparently a pretty important task, which involves taking the word of truth, handling it rightly. That's good, right? The word of truth is what? What is it? That would be the Bible, right? The entire Bible, the entire 66 books, every word of the scriptures. Take that word of truth, God's inspired word, every word inerrant, inspired, infallible, every word. But when you take this word of truth, I want you to do something with it. I want you to cut it straight.
That's Dr. Carl Fikencher making the case for law and gospel preaching. We're listening to his presentation from the 2016 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Dr. Fikencher is professor of pastoral ministry and missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. On the other side of the break, Paul, Timothy, and all pastors. Celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation with the new Martin Luther plush figure. It features the 16th century reformer holding the Bible and Luther's morning and evening prayers. Go to reformationgear.com, use the coupon code ISSUESETC, and 20% of your purchase will help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. reformationgear.com. The new Martin Luther plush figure, reformationgear.com, and enter the coupon code ISSUESETC.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. Issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Are you a homeschool parent looking for help teaching certain subjects? Or do you want your student to study the history, languages, and literature of Western civilization? Memoria Press Online Academy has live online classes with master teachers to help you. Their teachers have years of experience teaching, delighting, and moving students literally from all around the world. Your homeschool year doesn't have to be difficult. Visit MemoriaPressAcademy.com or call 877-745-8866.
you can teach lay people theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
There's a dangerous movement in evangelicalism known as the New Apostolic Reformation, and they literally claim that in the past few decades, God has restored apostles and prophets to the church.
Chris Roseborough talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
In my presentation, I'll be making the case against modern-day apostles and prophets. As part of the presentation, we'll be talking about who's teaching this ecclesiology, the inherent dangers of it, but also what's at the root of it, and that is a false understanding of the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
You can meet and hear Chris Roseborough making the case against modern-day prophets and apostles Friday, June 9th and Saturday, June 10th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Welcome back. Listen to a presentation from the 2016 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, made by Dr. Carl Fikencher, a regular guest here on Issues Etc., making the case for law and gospel preaching, dealing with passage now about rightly handling the word of truth and turning to the subject of Paul and Timothy and all pastors.
Anybody know what Paul is getting at first when he begins the verse by saying, "Be diligent to present yourself approved by God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed"? Who's Paul writing this to? Timothy. Timothy's vocation in life? Pastor, right, exactly. What do pastors have to do eschatologically? That is the last day that non-pastors don't have to do, actually. Hebrews 13, verse 17 speaks to lay people and says, "Obey your leaders, those who are set over you, for they stand as one who must give an account." Exactly. And the passage goes on to say, you know, do it eagerly, because it wouldn't be any good for you if he's speaking God's word to you and you ignore it, okay? But he has to give an account. St. Paul here is speaking to Pastor Timothy in this eschatological view, end times view, where the pastor has to stand before God and say, you know, for Mrs. Schmidt and Mr. Johansson and da-da-da-da-da, you know, I was faithful. Okay? Now, every one of us, pastors that is going to have a clean accounting only because it's washed clean in the same blood of Christ that washes us for everything else. We don't do this perfectly. We do it miserably in big terms. But Paul says, Pastor Timothy, if you want to be a workman who does not need to be ashamed of that accounting that he gives, let it be said that you did what? Cut straight the word of truth. Notice this. Notice how significant this task is. This task is so significant that Paul is able to say to a pastor, this is it. If you want to be able to give an account of the souls entrusted to you and not be ashamed, be able to say you did this thing. That's how important it is. Now, what is that thing? Cutting straight the word of truth. Dividing rightly the word of truth. That is this. Here's the word of truth, God's word, Scripture. Every word is God's word, inspired, inerrant, infallible. But God didn't give every word in Scripture for every moment, because there are certain moments when someone is before you, if you're a pastor, let's say, who is feeling pretty good about his situation standing before God on his own merits. I'm sinful, maybe pastors knows that, but I think I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm standing okay on my own. That's what we would call a law moment. That's a moment when it's not the moment to say, Christ has forgiven you all your sins. It's a moment when it is a moment to say, Joe, I got to tell you, buddy, leaving your wife for that other lady is not okay. You may not do this. You may not do this. That's a law moment. Flip side is there are lots of moments when someone comes to your office crying, saying, I've done the most horrible thing I could ever do. And after you listen, you know it's not a moment to say, you're right, that breaks the Sixth Commandment all over the place. No. When he or she comes to you weeping, saying, I've done the most terrible thing I could ever do, it's a moment to say, Christ Jesus died also for this. Oh, Pastor, this is so bad. This is so horrible. Yes, Christ died also for this. This is a gospel moment. It's either a law moment or a gospel moment. That's what it means to divide or cut straight this word of truth. It's all God's word. It's all inerrant. But some of God's word is for right now, and some of God's word is maybe for the very next second afterwards. For different people, different times, different moments. And by the way, by no means, and this is hugely important, by no means is this just something that is for pastors. It's like orange juice, you know, it's not just for breakfast anymore, you know. No, the truth is, every Christian who has an encounter with any other human being at any moment on Tuesday or Thursday or Monday or Friday or Wednesday at 3 a.m. or 2 p.m. or 6 p.m. is in this position of saying, is this right now a law moment or gospel moment? 24/7. If you are a Christian, remember that's your forma, that's what makes you a Christian. If you're a Christian and you're encountering another human soul, believer, unbeliever, some of you know well, some of you don't know very well, the big question always to be in your mind is, what can I do, say, to be helpful to this person? And the dichotomy is it a moment where the person needs to have, you know, kind of an alert that everything isn't quite perfect as is? That's putting it politely. Or is this a moment where someone needs that affirmation that in Christ Jesus, God has given this person eternal life? Now, there are ways you give short sermons and long sermons. You know, you don't meet a guy on the street and give the long sermon, you know, okay? But this is the nonstop task of every Christian all the time, 24/7, doing this law gospel thing with any and every person you encounter, all the time, taking that word of truth and cutting it straight, rightly dividing it. So that properly dividing law and gospel is the, anybody want to take a guess? I'll give you the first word, essential. And that doesn't just mean really important, that means the essence, the basic. Properly dividing law and gospel is the essential task of God's, Paul says, workman. And in a broader sense, every Christian is one of God's workmen. Well, if this is the essential task of every one of God's workmen, I think law gospel must be pretty doggone important. I think it is. Especially when it's what makes you a Christian, and what will make them a Christian. And if you're blessed to be Lutheran and have been given this gift especially, boy, that's a pretty compelling case. However, all of this, every bit of it would be out the window if it really weren't scriptural. I mean, if you had nothing but 2 Timothy 2:15 to go on, that'd be kind of a pretty thin hair. It's completely true. Everything I've told you is true, I think. But if that's the only evidence you had of this, it'd be tough. There's more. Properly dividing law and gospel is how the blank actually blank. Anyone want to take a guess right now on that one? How scripture actually, I'll say, could your verb is good, speaks. How scripture actually speaks. If it's not that, then everything we've been saying is just blowing smoke. But it is that.
Dr. Carl Fikencher is making the case for law and gospel preaching from the 2016 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. He's professor of pastoral ministry and missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and chair of a new project called Preach the Word. Preach the Word helps pastors work together to improve their preaching through video modules with accompanying resources and by interacting with seminary professors and fellow preachers. Learn more at lcms.org/preachtheword. lcms.org/preachtheword. We'll conclude his presentation right after this.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Jesus the Good Shepherd says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life." We invite you to join us as we listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd and follow him who gives us eternal life. Sunday worship services at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible class at 10:30. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri, on the web at goodshepherdarnold.org. That's goodshepherdarnold.org.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.
The Reformation's relevancy, natural law, news discernment, modern-day apostles and prophets, depression, catechizing our children. You can meet and hear Issues Etc. regular guests discussing these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 9th and 10th in Collinsville, Illinois. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Registration is $120. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 9th and 10th in Collinsville, Illinois.
Would you like to learn about the Reformation theology you hear on Issues Etc.? We'll send you a pamphlet of Luther's Small Catechism for free. It contains the biblical teachings on the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, the Lord's Supper, and confession and absolution. Order your free copy of Luther's Small Catechism today. Just send your name and mailing address to talkback@issuesetc.org. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin on this Thursday, June the 1st. The conclusion of Dr. Carl Fikencher's presentation from the 2016 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Making the Case for Law and Gospel Preaching. Here he is talking about whether or not law and gospel is a pattern that we force on Scripture.
My Baptist friends had some learning curve on this, which I, like I said, didn't really appreciate till they asked me, then I had to think about it. And that was this thing, well, aren't you Lutherans kind of forcing a template over the Scriptures? There's all these things that Scripture says. It says lots of different things. And when you just say it's saying this and this, really, that's kind of forcing your recipe, your Lutheran recipe, over the Scriptures. And I said, well, I don't think so. I really don't think so. So in one of my classes, I said to a guy who was asking that question, I said, well, give me an example from Scripture. Give me an example, and we'll talk about it. And he said, I've mentioned this on the radio. Anybody know what example he asked for? No? Song of Solomon. This guy was no doofus. He gave me a challenge. He wasn't throwing me Romans 3, something like that. He's throwing me Song of Solomon. I said, great, okay, good. Good question, good example. Now, first, before I answer, what do you think Song of Solomon means? And he said, you know what he said? He said, it's God's instruction for marriage. And I said, okay, I don't think that's what it's really all about, but let's just pretend that it is. If that's what it is, if that's what Song of Solomon is, God's instruction for marriage, is that's what it is, then it is law. I said, sure, then that would be law. he immediately recoils. Well, it's so nice. I mean, it's just, it's telling husbands, wives that love each other, blah, blah, blah. I say, yeah. See, the law is anything that God is telling us to do or not to do, and so on. And it can be very nice. It can be wonderful. In this case, it can even be pretty, right? And so it's not like the law is just, you're guilty, you're going to hell. And he said, okay, well, that's kind of different than I thought you meant. Not the end of the discussion, however, because then I said, but remember, I told you, I don't think that's what Song of Solomon really is about. I don't think it's instruction in marriage primarily. I think it's a picture of Christ and the church, the magnificent, faithful, immeasurable, even, you know, sensuous kind of love that Christ has for each one of us. And if that's what it is, then it's fantastic gospel. I mean, it's as rich a gospel as you could ever see. You know, he keeps coming back to us. He keeps coming back. Even when we think he's far away, he keeps coming back. And he loves us so intimately, every one of us one-on-one. He would have died for each one. Mike, he'd have died for you if you'd been the only one. I know he'd have died for Claire, because she's really worth saving. No, I mean, you know what I mean, Mike. She's my wife, you know? He would have died for any one of us individually. This is a magnificent picture of what Christ has done by going to the cross for us to reconcile us to him so that relationship will never be broken. And my Baptist friend said, oh, wow, that's pretty good. Yeah, I kind of thought law was when you're guilty and going to hell, and gospel is when Jesus died on the cross and you're forgiven, so that's that. And I thought there were quite, a few passages that said that. But no, it's quite a lot. C.F.W. Walther says, Thesis 1 in his book, Long Gospel, the doctrinal contents of the entire Holy Scriptures, both of Old and New Testament, are made up of two doctrines differing fundamentally from each other, that is, the law and the gospel. That is, the whole doctrinal content of Scripture is law or gospel, and then, lest anyone should think that doctrinal content is some things in Scripture but not other things, because like Dr. Rass said yesterday, doctrine, that's everything we teach, that's all, the whole Bible. Walther also says on page 210, Tao edition, these two, the law and the gospel, are the cardinal doctrines of all the Holy Scriptures, which are made up of these two. Any passage, yea, any historical fact recorded in Scripture can be classified as belonging either to the law or the gospel. That is to say, if we really understand what law and gospel is, we'll find we're not forcing some kind of template over the Bible. We're just speaking the way the Bible actually speaks. We're just talking God's language when we give law and when we give gospel. Todd has come to position here, which means I've got to quit. But I'll just tell you one last thing. Because see, that's where Christians of other traditions who kind of don't understand come to appreciate this. I don't have time for 30 of the law controversies, okay? But I'll take you now to confessional Lutherans who themselves sometimes say, oh yeah, but isn't this putting a straitjacket on Scripture, okay? Now, these well-intended men who take every word of the Bible very, very, very richly, but maybe think law and gospel might still be kind of a sort of a too narrow thing that Lutherans have kind of held on to too long or something like that. Think if you are a looking forward to Sunday morning, three-year lectionary kind of person, you might notice that, for example, this coming Sunday, if you haven't gotten out of your Dropbox yet, check it out. This coming Sunday, the gospel reading is going to be Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through chapter 8, verse 3. Turn there very quickly with me. We'll be fine. I promise you, Todd. I'm almost done, buddy. All right. Could go a lot longer, but we're watching the clock. Okay? Luke chapter 7, beginning at verse 36 through the end of chapter 7, is the story of what? The sinful woman and Simon the Pharisee, right? Has Jesus over for dinner, the Pharisee, right? And while Jesus is dining with a Pharisee, this woman comes in who is known publicly to be of ill repute, One way, we don't know the particulars, but Simon figures Jesus ought to know she's sinful because Simon knows. And if Jesus were a prophet, he'd know this, right? And she comes in, and during this dinner, she does the very inappropriate thing of anointing Jesus' feet, weeping, washing, you know, wiping with her hair, and just beautifully, beautifully caring for Jesus in a loving way. Simon you know, if Jesus were a prophet, he'd know that woman shouldn't be touching him. Jesus asks, you know, the question, Simon, got something to tell you, a little quick parable. Two men both owed some money, one 500 denarii, 150. When the man forgave both of them their debts, who would love him more? And Simon rightly says, well, I suppose the guy who was forgiven more, right? And then Jesus says, you know, Simon, you know, you really didn't think that you needed any forgiveness. And so you don't think you've been forgiven anything. And so you didn't do anything that was loving toward me at all. You didn't give me the customary kiss. You didn't wash my feet after the muddy, you know, dusty day and so on. But this woman, she knows she's been very sinful. She believes she's been forgiven. And because she believes she's been forgiven her many, many sins, she shows a lot of love. Okay? It's a classic law gospel text where the law shows sin, and then Jesus turns to her and says, your sins are forgiven. Everybody knows that's law gospel, right? No good confessional Lutheran would say that's too narrow for law gospel, right? But this Sunday, this very Sunday's gospel reading also goes on to chapter 8, verses 1 to 3. Chapter 8, it came about soon afterwards that Jesus began going about from one city and village to another, proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and sicknesses. Mary, who was called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who were contributing to their support out of their private means. Now there, you don't have a classic, you're guilty of sin, you're forgiven. And this is the kind of passage where some well-meaning Lutherans would say, well, I don't think we really want a long gospel over that, because here, what has Jesus done for these women? He's cast out demons and healed them. That's not saying you're guilty, that's why you're possessed by a demon. You're guilty of sin, that's why you're sick. Now you're forgiven. Oh, and I guess I'll heal you too. No, the thing that part of the text talks about is the actual healing. And so some would say, well, that's not really law and gospel. Ah, contraire. This is where the goof comes in among well-meaning confessional Lutherans when they think law and gospel only speaks in one mode. The fact of the matter is, every problem, demon possession, illness, is a result of sin, no question about that. And although this isn't a case of pronouncing absolution, but healing, casting out demons and such, it is just as much a result of the big G gospel as your sins are forgiven. Because the big G gospel, if I can use that term, is the thing that St. Paul said is the whole shooting match. And I'm not talking about 2 Timothy 2:15 here. I'm talking about 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2. When I was with you, I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. The reason that these women were exorcised and healed is because the sin that separates the whole world from God and would cut us off from every blessing, including health and protection from Satan and his demons, has been removed by Jesus' death on the cross. When a healing takes place, it's a result of Jesus' death on the cross. There's not a promise that every disease will be healed or even every demon exorcised. But when it happens, it's because of Jesus' death on the cross. We have a beautiful place to get together today because of Jesus' death on the cross. We have planes, trains, and automobiles that can get us from here to home when we finish because of Jesus' death on the cross. We have electric lights because the sin that would keep us from any of God's blessings of any kind and leave us with nothing but literal darkness and spiritual darkness and damnation and leave us totally at Satan's mercy has been removed by Jesus' death on the cross. Remember this and take it to the bank. You'll get to eat dinner tonight. Not just because God is good and gracious, he is. You'll get to have dinner tonight, food on your table, because of Jesus' death on the cross. You have friends, you have a job, you have health, you have eternal life when your health on earth is over. All for the very same one and the same reason, Jesus' death on the cross, which removed the sin that separated us from God, would have separated us from all blessings, reconciled us to God, so the God who is omnipotent, omniscient, and all-loving is like this with you. And that is law and gospel. So, if law and gospel is this amazing gift that God has especially entrusted to us as Lutherans, if law and gospel is the form of the Christian, so it's what makes a Christian, if law and gospel, dividing it rightly, really is the 24/7 task, the essential task of every one of God's workmen, and really, if this is in fact the way the Bible, Scripture, actually speaks, I think that's a pretty strong case that Luther is absolutely right. Distinguishing between the law and the gospel is the highest art in Christendom and one that every person who values the name Christian, especially those blessed to be confessional Lutherans, ought to recognize, know, and possess. Thank you very much.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Dr. Robin Lever about the Reformation and congregational singing. This is precisely what Jesus both promised and commanded, that repentance and the forgiveness of sins be preached in his name to the ends of the earth until he returns. He's talking about carrying out God's word of both law and gospel and preaching both law and gospel for the salvation of the world. This is the task that we have been given as the church. This is the task that Jesus has instituted and that he has promised he will fulfill. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.